Things are sometimes much larger than they seem, and this matters for both religious and everyday life. In other words, sometimes a cigar is not just a cigar. Welcome to Unperplexed, a weekly Parsha podcast where we take one of the most challenging books in Jewish thought, the Rambam's Guide of the Perplexed, and ask a simple question. What does this difficult book have to say about how we should live? The Sabians, you know, considered blood highly polluting. So the Rambam tells us, though I confess I would not have known this if not for the fact that he records it. The Sabians were a pagan group that the Rambam considers representative of idolatrous beliefs and behaviors. Additionally, he assumes that the Israelites who left Egypt would have been familiar with and influenced by their religious practices. So, returning to the famous pagan Sabians. The Sabians, as the Rambam mentioned, considered blood to be disgusting, a food only for demons. Yet, they considered it powerful and ate blood so that jinns or demons could come and tell them the future, as the Rambam says, the vulgar imagine that spirits do. Others, he goes on to say, found the idea of consuming blood too revolting, and would merely gather it into a bowl and keep it near them while they ate meat. This, too, was a practice intended to attract demons who might tell them of things unknown. In Jewish law, blood is also used in worship. It is noteworthy, however, that our practices are like a mirror opposite Sabian customs. Sabians would gather blood at rituals, and we pour it out on the altar. Sabians would consume blood, but we are prohibited from doing so. Sabians considered blood potent, yet revolting. Our law considers it purifying. As we read in our Parsha, sprinkle it on Aaron and on his garments. He and his garments shall be sanctified. If this is starting to feel like it's not random, you've begun arriving at the Rambam's position. This is not about blood. It is about meaning. Indeed, he writes that God specifically reversed Sabian practices because their beliefs, quote, were widely followed and favored in those days. The common folk never doubted them. So the Torah aimed to end this chronic illness by inverting Sabian practices. For the Rambam, mitzvot are not arbitrary decrees. They are educational tools. But we need to go deeper. Is eating blood inherently evil? Would a Martian arrive on Earth and immediately know that it is wrong to eat a bloody steak? If we consider this question in a vacuum, we might not be so sure. Yet, most or all of us might find blood consumption revolting or unnerving. But is it inherently morally wrong? It is not so clear. But the laws surrounding blood must have sent a message loudly and clearly to the children of Israel. Not simply that consuming blood is a stomach-turning activity, but that it should not be consumed so that pagan beliefs would be repudiated. A seemingly neutral behavior is being turned into something more, made into a symbol of Jewish belief and monotheism, turned into a signal that polytheism and idolatry are to be rejected by Jews. A behavior can be much more than what it looks like in a vacuum. Indeed, this is common. There is nothing inherent in red lights that makes it clear that we must stop when we see one, yet we all know what it means, and we hit the brakes. Stars and stripes become much more than a pretty picture, and waving a cloth with them is more than simply playing around. Diamond rings aren't just shiny, they are declarations of love and commitment. New cars can be status symbols, clothing can communicate communal affiliation, and a bat and ball have come to be as American as apple pie. Because our behaviors, choices, activities, and objects so often become much more than what they might have been in a vacuum, and much more than what they might be to a Martian or someone who has never seen our society or experienced life with us. Sometimes a cigar is not just a cigar. Some of the things that we communicate with our choices are purposeful, such as a person who attends a concert or wears a t-shirt with a band on it in order to signal fandom. Yet, so many of the things that we do are symbolic and contextual in ways that have nothing to do with intention. Most of us didn't choose to make diamond rings mean what they mean. They just play a certain role in society, just like we do, just like all of our actions do. We communicate with our choices and the things that we own or carry around. And this means that we may wish to examine our behaviors and choices. What do they represent about us? What would someone watching us think we value? Indeed, if we look at ourselves objectively in the mirror, what do the things we own and do communicate about our own beliefs and ideals? For the Rambam, the mitzvot signal and symbolize monotheism, good character, wisdom, and a covenant with God. And so they do. But what about all the other things that we do? Do they reflect us in the way that we wish to be perceived? Do they communicate what we consider to be our highest values? Are we, possibly, unwittingly communicating our belief in modern-day idolatries or distractions of materialism or political tribalism or status? Or do our practices and choices say of us what the mitzvot say, that we pursue wisdom, good character, a good society, and a covenant with God? Let's pause then, today or over the weekend. Let's consider what we value most and how to make it clear to others and to ourselves what really matters. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Unperplexed, where we are going to take a look at a very difficult book through the prism of the Parsha and show how it is instructive for our daily lives.